It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Less than a month ago, the 119th Congress convened for the first time, and since then, there has been a flurry of activity. In the Oval Office, President Donald Trump's sweeping executive actions take aim at everything from diversity programs to immigration to artificial intelligence. To get a Wisconsin perspective on federal policy in the moment and the latest developments from Capitol Hill, we turn to 1st Congressional District Representative Republican Brian Steil. He represents areas including Janesville, Racine, and Kenosha. He leads the Subcommittee on Digital Assets, Financial Technology, and Artificial Intelligence. I spoke with Steil yesterday just as President Trump rescinded an order freezing federal assistance. We begin by discussing which moves by the Trump administration Steil is most supportive of for Wisconsinites and the nation.
Coming out day one, President Trump made some very strong and positive executive orders, in particular as it relates to border security. These were executive actions that we were calling on President Biden to take, but he refused. And so President Trump came in, reinstated stay in Mexico, is ending abuse of the parole system, restarting border wall construction, and making sure that we secure the U.S.-Mexico border has a real impact in Wisconsin, in particular as it relates to the flow of illicit drugs like fentanyl that have been coming across the border, both through legal ports of entry, but also significantly through illegal entry, as well as the scourge of human trafficking that we have seen play out as a result of the broken border policies we saw for the last 4 years.
Should immigration at the southern border be stopped altogether?
We should stop illegal immigration altogether. It's going to take not only the work of executive action by the president, but also the action and work of Congress. Last Congress, I was proud to support a border bill, what we called H.R. 2. It was a comprehensive bill to secure the U.S.-Mexico border, to make sure that we were supporting the men and women of Border Patrol, investing in technology, and also forcing the executive to take many of the actions that President Trump voluntarily just took. Putting that into law prevents a future president from unwinding it. And so while the executive actions are a good step forward, I think at the end here, legislative action is going to be needed to make sure that we secure the border completely.
On the flip side of that, could this affect Wisconsin communities? I mean, you look at an industry like dairy, which is very much a labor force of immigrant labor. Will this have an effect on particular industries?
Well, I think it's important to clarify the difference between immigrant labor that is legal labor and illegal immigrant labor. And I think that's very important, in particular, as we think about the labor markets in Wisconsin. So it's important to make sure that we have men and women who are taking the jobs that are available in our state. And as we think about the dairy industry, immigrant labor plays a critical role. H-1B visas, other agricultural visas, sometimes they fit the agriculture industry in Wisconsin, in particular during the fall harvest season. Sometimes they don't fit as well, in particular as we think about the dairy industry. But I'm of the belief that allowing some dairies to use illegal labor and undercut the labor market is not to the benefit. I'm of the belief that if we require everyone to abide by the rules, those dairy farms that are currently operating legally will no longer be undercut by dairy farms that are operating illegally. And I think that, to the end of the day, is to the benefit of Wisconsin farmers and all agriculture workers.
Moving on here to this potential pause on federal grants, loans, and federal assistance, the judge in D.C. has since blocked this pause. There's still confusion. Wisconsin state government receives $28 billion a year in federal assistance, the bulk of that going to Department of Health Services for Medicaid programs. That is according to the state legislature's nonpartisan fiscal bureau. Do you support a pause on federal funding?
Moments ago, that executive order was rescinded. I think what the president is making the statement on is there had been such aggressive, reckless spending under the Biden administration. We had to take a deep breath and determine where should federal dollars be going and where should they not be going. And on the way out the door, what we've identified and has been stated in the press is that President Biden was shoving money through in the final hours of his administration into areas that I don't think were appropriate. And we saw some instances of that in particular as it relates to foreign aid that were highlighted at a recent press conference. And so I think what the president broadly is saying is, let's take a deep breath and let's make sure that we're wisely using all of our tax dollars and we're not wasting any of it. Specifically, as it relates to the executive order, that's been rescinded. But I do think it's important that we comb through all federal government spending and make sure that it is actually a good use of taxpayer dollars, and we're not allowing taxpayer dollars to go to partisan pet projects that might have been authorized in the final hours of the Biden administration.
So with that said, how would you like the Trump administration to proceed on federal grants and loans? Should there be a pause of any type to evaluate such programs?
Well, I think what the administration is doing is going through with a fine-tooth comb on all of these programs. And again, this is trillions of dollars of federal government spending that is being spent in any given year. And so all of us working together play a real role here, right? I think all of us Americans are united on removing waste, fraud, and abuse, on making sure the tax dollars are going to their highest and best purpose. And so the vast amount of spending that was unleashed in the Biden administration, particularly in the first 2 years under Democratic one-party control, I think it's really important that we go back and review those programs and determine, are they really in the best interest of the country? Broadly speaking, I think we're best when our elected leaders in the House and the Senate are dictating those spending decisions. But over the years, and this goes back, you know, decades and decades, Congress has really given significant authority to the president over the authority of the House and the Senate. And this cuts across all administrations. I think we'd be best served to re-empower Congress in that appropriations process. That said, that's not where we are today. And so I think it's appropriate that we're reviewing a lot of the spending that went through at the end of the Biden administration to make sure that it's actually a good and appropriate use of taxpayer dollars.
We are checking in on the latest developments on Capitol Hill with Republican Representative Brian Steil, who serves Wisconsin's first congressional district. You're leading the subcommittee on digital assets, financial technology, and AI. What are your priorities as you head the subcommittee?
I look at two key priorities in the digital asset space. One is working to ensure that Americans' financial investments are safe and secure. And if we put forward rules of the road in digital assets and crypto and in other areas, we can make sure that we're moving forward in that direction. The other is to make sure that we're encouraging innovation and development here in the United States and not allowing us to be outcompeted by other countries like China. And so if we put forward a framework for digital assets investment, really the plumbing of our financial system here in the United States, we have an opportunity to encourage that innovation and development of Web3 here in America, rather than allowing foreign countries to take the lead in this space, which in many ways they are right now.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, they launched crypto meme coins prior to Inauguration Day. And opponents say the president's coin has the potential to raise significant funds for his business empire. Is there a way to regulate crypto for this president and potential future presidents?
So inside of legislation that I've been working on last year, if we had that in law, and it's a bill that will hopefully have an opportunity to move forward this year, actually defining the market structure in crypto and making sure that we're working to protect and secure American investments, there would be a regulatory framework for all sorts of different digital assets, including meme coins. I think it's reasonable and appropriate for us to put forward a framework for the United States of America. Because at the end of the day, what it'll do is it'll protect investors, but also encourage innovation and development here in the United States.
Turning to TikTok, you support the law essentially banning TikTok unless its Chinese-owned parent company sells. The Supreme Court upheld the ban this month. And as recently, in recent days, you told WTMJ that the U.S. needs to force the sale of TikTok due to data collection concerns from China. President Trump ignoring that law, giving TikTok owners an extension. What do you make of that?
I think at the end of the day, what we're not upset about is the app itself. The app, in theory, can be used and could be fine. It's not fine today because the Communist Chinese Party, through their involvement in ByteDance, which is the company that owns TikTok, has backdoor access to Americans' digital technology. And so the law that passed Congress did not ban TikTok per say, what it did is it said we need to alter the corporate structure to prevent the Communist Party of China from having a backdoor into Americans' digital fingerprints. And so I think it's, at the end of the day, appropriate that we force that sale or divestiture, and hopefully we'll be able to reach that in the not-too-distant future.
So would you anticipate then people being able to use TikTok for the foreseeable future? And would it be available on federal devices, per se?
Well, all this is kind of playing out in real time. I mean, I would not encourage anyone to have TikTok under its current structure on their phone. I don't have it on my phone. And again, the reason for that is the Communist Party of China, through their involvement of the owner of TikTok, which is a company called ByteDance, has a backdoor access into your digital privacy, right? So it has access into your contacts, it has access maybe into your photos and other things. And exactly how that's operating on the back end of that is rather opaque. And so personally, I would not advise anyone to have TikTok on their phone. That's obviously a choice for any given American as to whether or not they want to take that risk. The action that Congress is taking is not to ban the app. If you want to go post silly videos of you dancing, there's nothing wrong with that, and the government shouldn't be involved in that. What we're simply saying is to protect Americans' privacy, and in particular their digital privacy. And as we know, Americans' phones are nuanced in what you're doing day in and day out. But to protect that, what we need to do is restructure the corporate ownership in the backdoor access that the Communist Party of China has due to their investment in ByteDance.
Congressman Stile, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Stile is the Republican U.S. representative for Wisconsin's 1st congressional district, representing areas including Janesville, Racine, and Kenosha. We spoke yesterday just as President Trump rescinded an order that would have put a freeze on most federal grants and loans.